Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 254.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 254. My name is Brendan Lowe. Thank you so much for listening. This particular episode is going to be part four of my four-part series. Now, I did three parts on bebop enclosures, bebop approach notes, whatever you want to call them. They're all the same thing, really, just different terminology. And I went over different bebop approaches, enclosures to a minor seventh chord, a dominant seventh chord, and a major seventh chord. And now in this particular podcast episode, I'm going to be doing connections. So connecting the chords while still utilizing all the bebop approach notes that I've talked to you and taught you in the last three episodes. Now the episodes were broken up by episodes by done by Sterling Koza, one of our amazing Jazz Piano School staff educators, but you can follow along in the series. Obviously, if you just look at the titles, you'll see part one, part two, part three, and obviously this is part four. So things are going well. You know, I've been traveling a lot. I've been pretty busy. Gigs are coming back. So I've been moving around a little bit, and Sterling's been helping out for members. We're really working on getting some more engaging activities happening. We're going to be starting those in April, and I'm still working on the improvisation specialty course that's going to be released this summer. And yeah, just a lot of fun things happening. And, you know, it's really, really nice to be able to kind of start to settle into this. I mean, there was a lot, you know, during COVID and quarantine, there's so many things up in the air. And, you know, it was really hard to kind of focus on work, even though you would think like being home all the time, like, oh, you can just work all the time. It's not really the way it works because you lose a lot of balance, right? I lost a lot of balance, my routine and everything like that. So going to the gym, you know, going on walks, being able to go to restaurants, go out. So now that, you know, things are finally, the routine and the balance of my life is coming back, it's really nice to be able to get in the swing of things again. And obviously you've probably seen more, you know, just a lot more happening probably in Jazz Piano School than previously. And like I've been talking about, we're really kind of pumping out content right now because we are really focused in on the members side of things. If you are a member, you're going to be getting a lot of goodies coming to you very soon. If you're not, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com and become a member. We also have additional courses that you can sign up. If you don't want to get access to everything, you can buy individual courses on different topics like that. But our membership does give you access to everything inside. It's very, very simple membership. It's like Netflix. You sign up, you pay one monthly price, you get access to everything inside, all the courses, the full main course curriculum, yada, yada, yada. Okay? And so, yeah, it's just been going really well, and we have a lot of new, fresh ideas that we're going to be starting to implement, bringing in new guests to do some master classes. Sterling's going to be doing more live engaging aspects, live lessons. I'm going to be doing more live lessons, but in a different way. You know, I really want to start to interact more. I may do some Zoom live lessons for members where I'm actually talking with you, I'm listening to you play, things like that. So if you've ever been thinking of getting a membership, it's a really, really good time because we're making lots of new changes. We're updating a lot of new things. And yeah, I mean, I've been at this for 8 years. I'm not stopping now, and I've been updating and improving this for 8 years. So again, nothing's stopping. I'm still going strong, and that'll never change. I love music. I love jazz. I had an amazing gig last night, actually. It was really, really fun playing with a vocalist. I love playing with vocalists. It's just a different flavor, you know? You still get to solo. You still get to play with a rhythm section, but you have the vocalist to comp behind, and she, you know, he or they, you know, whoever it is, they give a texture that's really, really fun to kind of get behind, and it's just really, really awesome. I mean, I love I love playing just like saxes and stuff like that, but you don't hear lyrics, you know, with instruments. So it's really fun to hear the lyrics of songs, and the story of that through lyrics is really, really cool. But obviously I'm amped. That kind of left me with a really great feeling from the gig last night. I'm going to be writing more. I have an album coming out this year with one of my bands, and I'm going to be recording my jazz album, probably trio with some guests, hopefully to release this year as well. I'm feeling really good these days and super ambitious, loving all the projects that I have going on, even though there's so many. But anyway, feel free to reach out if you guys have any questions out there about Jazz Piano School. If you're a member, obviously, feel free to contact us at any time. And with that being said, let's dive right into this episode. Here we go. So what we're going to do here is we are going to start to connect the bebop approaches to the chords. So if we have a D minor 7, right, we're going to take this D minor 7, and I'm going to use my bebop approaches that I've taught in the last three episodes to connect us. Now, all I'm going to do right now is start with a simple half step below. Now, in between, I don't want you to worry about any bebop approaches just yet. All I want you to do is think about the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. Now, when I say the end, I just mean the transition. So what did I do there? What did I do to connect those two chords? The D minor 7 to the G 7. Now, a couple rules of thumb. Right now, with this practice exercise that you can use at home whenever you want, and I highly recommend you use these exercises, and this particular one to start with, is I'm utilizing the half step below approach to start my line, and then to resolve it into the next chord being the G7, and then eventually the 1 major 7, the C major 7. So I went back and I used my half step below approach, right, to land on that B natural being the third. And that's how I connected the two. Now, in between right now, all I'm doing is just I'm using just scalar motion from the diatonic mode, meaning C, okay? If you do know your modes, you can think Dorian, then Mixolydian. But right now, all you really need to think about is just your C major scale. Just use notes from your C major scale going up and down. And again, your target is to really target any chord tone of the next chord landing on beat one. So remember, we have four beats in each chord for this particular progression. 2-5-1, one measure for each chord. So this is going to be and one and two and three and four and one. Now, this is kind of the equation thing. And again, in Jazz Piano School, I've created a course called the Bebop Equation, because this starts to get a little bit of math, right, with the beats and how to align the beats with the chord tones. So I'm kind of just feeling this. You can count in your head slowly as you practice. And one, and two, and three, and. Now at the end of three, you're starting to feel urgency. You're starting to think, okay, I have beats four, and then I have to land on a chord tone, right? So you're kind of starting to plan at this point how you're going to resolve to a chord tone. And one, and two, and three, and four. Now I'm really close. I only have one more and before I have to land on the chord tone, right? So my two closest chord tones in this moment are B and D. So the one I chose was to do four and one. Now I could have gone up. I could go four and one. That also would have resolved, right? Moving up to that D there. So I could use either. That resolves to my chord tone with the utilization of the half step below approach that we're working on right now. Right now, all we're working on is utilizing half step below bebop approaches, right? To transition between our 2 minor 7, our 5 7, and our 1 7. All right, so let's move on. Let's say I do this one. I like that. Now I can move down or up. It doesn't really matter. Since I just moved up, I'm going to move down. So, and one, and two, and three. Now I'm really not thinking about much at this point, right? All I'm doing is just moving down the scale. Okay, again, till we get around the end of three or beat four, the downbeat of four, then our brain has to kick in and be like, how are we going to resolve to a chord tone of our C major 7 chord by using a half step below approach. This is the practice process that you have to go through to start to implement and utilize your bebop approaches, your bebop enclosures. This is how your practice has to go. Very slowly, no time, systematically working on your half step below approaches. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. So now I'm on beat 4. How am I going to resolve to a chord tone with one extra beat now? The only chord tone that's close is this 7. So I would go and I'd resolve there, right? Because I'm on the C on beat 4, I'm not skipping, right? We're not making skips right now. I should have told you that before. So you could do this, right? You could go 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. Now we're not at that point yet. Skips are going to come later. Okay. Right now we're just, because bebop is very linear, right? It's very easy flowing and moving around. There are skips. There's times for skips, but that's not what we're working on just yet. All right. Right. You could also do that. I mean, like, that fits what I'm trying to teach you, but it doesn't sound good. That's not really bebop. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. Like, that doesn't sound good, right? So the thing that's going to sound good is the closest resolution possible. So let's try something else. From here, 1 and 2 and 3, instead of going all the way down, I can go back up. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. So again, now I'm on beat 4. My brain's kicking in. How am I going to resolve to a chord tune of my next chord? Well, the next chord I have is a C major 7, so my chord tone I have is G or B, and I'm on beat 4. So I could go 4 and 1, but again, we're not working on skips yet, so I'm going to go 4 and 1. Just pivot back and then back in, right? Now, this is all spontaneous improvisation practice. I'm practicing the art of spontaneously resolving. When I play bebop and when professionals play bebop, this is happening so naturally in the process because we've already worked on these spontaneous resolutions. We can quickly calculate and resolve in the moment, how to snake and weave our way through these lines to resolve. Right? I can just keep going for days with all these little bobs and weaves with the use of enclosures, right? And once you start to compile building blocks of these elements, right, you can get yourself in and out of sticky situations very easily. Now, I may not hit land on a chord tone, but guess what? The trick to doing that, which I might go into a part 5, is called a delayed resolution. So let's say I don't hit a chord tone. Let's say I go... Let's say I land on an extension like the sharp 11, which is very, very common. All I have to do to resolve is create a delayed resolution. Now, I'm teaching you in a step-by-step process because that's my philosophy. That's how I teach, right? But if I land on this, all I have to do is resolve it a beat later, 1 and 2, right? And then I can resolve it again. So it never matters. It doesn't matter. Even as you become more advanced, you learn ways to get yourself, if you kind of make a mistake, quote unquote, it's not really a mistake, right? Let's say you don't land on a chord tone as the chord transitions, there's still other ways to get out. But let's stay with this. I just wanted to explain that to you for a moment. So now we're starting to connect, right? So we have this. Let me see. And 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. All right. So I'm making my connections, right? And again, once you hit that chord tone, you can move up and down in a scalar motion, right? However you want. So again, with the D, I could go up and then down and then back up. Right? I could do that. Right? It doesn't matter. I'm just moving up and down in a slow, methodical way to start to work on these approaches. All right. So that would be your first step, just the half step below approach, connecting that half step below approach through 2-5-1s. Now, you don't want to move on to more advanced bebop approaches just yet. You want to work through a couple keys. I would say move to the key of F, right? So pick a G minor 7. Whoops, sorry. Maybe do that. I use the bebop scale in the middle. If you are comfortable using some bebop passing tones, you can do that as well. But this particular exercise with the utilization of your half step below, right? There's my half step below, resolving into the third of my F major 7. You would practice that through the keys first. Now, I've taught you a lot of different approaches, right? So we're going to take on the same systematic practicing process for all of the approaches that I've taught in the last three episodes based on the exercise I just showed you. So that exercise was for your half step below. Now, clearly it's going to get harder based on the approach that you have. So let's say you have a chord scale above approach, half step below approach into a chord tone. So if you're going 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1, this means you have to systematically figure out on the downbeat of 4, you're gonna need to be on a chord scale above to start this approach. Does that make sense? So this is exactly why the course I created inside of Jazz Piano School is called the Bebop Equation, the Bebop Improvisation Equation, because you're looking and analyzing bebop approaches and seeing how do they line up with the beats for me to actually utilize them in different ways, and they create different sounds, right? So 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. All right. So I did use a skip there. Once you start to get into more advanced bebop approaches, it is okay to use skips, right? Depending upon the sound of your line, right? Linear and small skips are gonna sound fine. I mean, there's arpeggios and skips. Lots of different. But the skips, if you're playing bebop, they're not really more than a third. I'll give you that little trick right there. They're not really more than a third. Once you get into fourths, that's going to be a more modal sound. Most of the skips you see in bebop language, if you analyze Charlie Parker, Bud Powell, Dizzy, you know, they're going to be mainly thirds. You're going to see skips in thirds or fifths. Like you might see a big jump. And that, again, if this is over a G minor 7, that's just going from chord tone to chord tone, right? Okay, that's more than a fifth, obviously. Okay, but again, you're not going to see many fourths, and most of the skips primarily are going to be thirds. So let's check this out. 1, 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. Now, why did I skip to this G? Because I knew in my head, because of the bebop approach that I'm practicing, I had to land on a chord scale above to get my bebop approach practice in. So I went 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3. Now, right now, I know I have one note that I need to play to get to this F, 3 and 4 and 1. So if I'm on beat 3 here, 3, right? So I could go, and again, if I want to use this D, let's say I want to use this D, I could go 3 and 4, right? And 1. That would be a way to utilize the chord scale above here, right? Moving into the C to resolve to the C there with the chord scale above, half step below, right? Do you see that? 4 and 1. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1, right? Right, or something like that, right? So this is how you're going to start to work on the connection process, of utilizing your approaches to get in and move through chords, right? This is how you create a bebop sound that moves through the harmonies, through the progressions. So you start to get these weaving in and out. Now, after you practice the different variations, right, you have your double chromatics, right? However you want to practice it, you know, move through with your double chromatics, all the different approaches that I taught you, you can start to get into adding the addition of bebop approaches in the middle of the line, Now, this is very advanced. This is very advanced things. This is going to come before delayed resolutions. But the bebop approach in the middle of the line, I just used two. One and two and three and four. Right? Now, at this point, again, I've used two, and that creates, what does it create? It creates more tension and movement, bobbing and weaving of your line. It's less linear now. It's less scalar. It's less diatonic. And so that creates more movement. Sometimes you want to have more movement, more just diatonic, you know, just scalar stuff. Sometimes you want more tension, more bebop tension. Right? I mean, you can't keep going with bebop approaches forever because then there's no balance, right? There's no balance. So what you want to have is like a bebop approach, maybe another one. If you put two and two together, then just some balance, some linear, some third, some arpeggios, some scalar motion without bebop approaches. Right? So I just moved up diatonically after that. No tension or release really until I resolved into the C major. There's another bebop approach I could do in the middle of the line, right? So you can start to add these in now in all the middle areas of your line. If you are at that point, please don't. Again, this is a heavy-duty subject. Don't play with this fire yet until you've really built your foundation up. But this is still how you start to move into all these different tension and release patterns. You know, you can just keep going. Obviously, this isn't really quite bebop yet. I mean, this is the foundational building blocks of moving your bebop language through transitions. Now, the way we elevate this to the next level is to add musicality, right? Because I'm not just playing consistent eighth note lines that are just... I mean, you can do that as a texture, but normally improvisation has what? It has space, it has motifs, it has dynamics, it has thematic content, right? It has repetitive lines, it brings you on a journey. But the bebop is interspaced throughout. So if I were to create a solo, I'd be adding many different types of textures. Maybe some blues scale, maybe some reharms, right? But the bebop language is interspersed in that. But I'd be really focused on creating more of a thematic solo rather than just playing consistent bebop lines over and over and over again, just nonstop eighth notes. Essentially, what we're doing here is creating practice patterns with just nonstop eighth notes. That's not really how we solo, but it's going to be how you practice the art of resolving your bebop approaches to chord tones first before you start to break them up. Okay, so if I were to create a solo, right, obviously I have some space in there. I wasn't trying to do too much. But I had movements. I did have bebop approaches, bebop lines that moved, you know, around in and around the chord tones. But at the same time, you know, even the smallest thing, is adding a little slide, right? That's a musicality texture that's going to elevate your improv, right? That's going to bring your improv to the next level. But a lot of people start with these kind of elevation techniques or hacks, right? Like slides, the blues scale, and they don't really take the time or spend the time to really methodically play through all these bebop resolutions and slowly work their way through 2-5-1s. Work their way through 2-5-1s. What I just demonstrated for you is what you should be able to do in all keys with the use of different bebop approaches. Literally non-stop eighth notes with the use of bebop approaches to play through your changes. Now, if you can't do that, you're not going to be able to elevate to the next level. You know, you need to be able to work on these things in a slow manner and really work it out and practice it. You know, and that's not even really the first step. Like, as I mentioned before, in all the other videos, you should just be practicing and isolating your bebop approaches by themselves to all chords, to through all 2-5-1s first before you even start connecting them. So by what I mean by that, I was just do all my half step belows to all chord tones. And then I'd come down. And then I'd go to my next minor chord, G minor. I'd do all my minor chords, then I'd do all my dominant chords. And then all my major chords, right? And then I would start to go through 2-5-1s. Now we go to G7. Really worry about fingering right now because it's just a practice exercise, right? And then we go to our C major 7. And I would do that for all of the different bebop approaches I've talked to you about, right? Then I would do my chord scale above to half step below, right? And I'd keep moving through the keys like that. And then I'd start to work on connecting them. Okay. Now, is it theoretically simple? Yes. Is it easy to do? No. It takes a lot of time, a lot of dedication, a lot of commitment, but consistency is the king, is the key, and it's the king. The more you work on this every single day, your bebop's going to get better. You're going to start to work through the different ways and variations you can move in and out of harmonies, right? Most notably the 2-5-1, obviously, and 5-1s. You're going to see that progression all the time in jazz and real books. And you're going to start to be able to combine these on the spot in a spontaneous method and manner. All right? Hope that shed some light on how bebop lines actually move and connect through the 2-5-1s. Hope you guys enjoyed that, and I'll talk to you later.